hugely enthusiastic reviews for the 50th anniversary revival of the birthday party at the Lyric Hammersmith. Was it inevitable when you took over the running of the theatre that you would revive this play for its 50th anniversary? Or was it something that actually only emerged quite late in the day?
It was actually a wonderful chance encounter with a gardener who came to the Lyric to offer his services to transform our terrace into a beautiful garden, which we are doing, but not with him. And he was a wonderful man who had been a long-standing Lyric follower and supporter, and we were chatting away, and he was remembering his great nights. And he said to me, and of course, I think I've been here, you know, quite a long time. And I said, well, you may even have seen the birthday party, because I knew it had opened here. And he said, oh, yes, it was a bit before my time, actually. He said, you know, that must be 50 years ago now, at which point I stopped dead, and I went, really, 50 years ago? And he went, well, not quite. And it was a wonderful moment, at which point I kind of terminated the meeting fairly fast, and whizzed upstairs and googled away, and quickly realised that I had about 15 months, I think, to get it organised. But literally within a couple of hours, I'd got onto Judy Daish, who is Harold Pinter's agent, and had managed to secure the rights, because thankfully no one else had noticed it. And what really made the project possible was the speed with which Harold and Judy Daish reacted. They were very fast. They're very, very efficient people. I met them very quickly. I'd sort of had my sort of audition, if you like, to make sure I wasn't an idiot, because they didn't know me at all. And after we had our lunch, in which I sort of explained why I wanted to do it and what essentially my sense of the piece was, it was all greenlit within a month or so, and at which point suddenly we realised what we almost suddenly realised what we chanced upon. I'm very grateful to that chap, and he came to the gala just the other night. We invited him as a guest of honour. Michael Whale.
I mean, it's a symbolically hugely important night, isn't it? That long ago night where the critics turned up, didn't get it, slated it. It almost killed his career in its infancy, and yet there was one famous review in the Sunday Times that just about swung it back in his favour. How did you feel about it as a kind of responsibility, bringing it back to the place it had first died in, I suppose?
Well, I didn't worry too much about that. I was beautifully aware of the irony of the fact that a play that had been deemed an utter failure, and you're absolutely right, I mean, he walked down Chiswick High Road the day after the main body of reviews came out, and they were all damning, and he was with his then wife, Vivian Merchant, and was absolutely convinced his career was over, he would have to get back to being a jobbing actor. And so then, in a way, it's somehow in a way easier to direct something 50 years after it's been an utter failure than when it's been a glorious success, even though it's since become a known masterpiece. And I always had a very specific feeling for the play. It isn't a play that I didn't know much. I knew it really well. I've always wanted to do Pinter. He was one of those guys. In fact, when I was 17, I think it was, I saw him in it on the television, and it made me want. I didn't know what it was. I just turned on, and there he was, standing next to Colin Blakely, being Goldberg and McCann, and scaring the hell out of me. And I've never forgotten it. So it was a play that stayed with me for a long time, and my great love of Kafka had sort of combined with that to make me think this was a play I could do and would like to do. So when suddenly we had the golden anniversary arrived on my doorstep, it was wonderful. It felt like being sent a gift from the gods, really. And I enjoyed every second of it, and I never really felt that, if I was to be honest, I never felt that intimidated by the experience.
And so what does it mean when you have, as it were, Harold Pinter's backing for a production? Do you get letters, emails, faxes, phone calls?
Well, it's a bit more direct than that. What you get him on the phone, you get him wanting to know who the cast are and actually having absolute say over, you know, yay or nay. He actually did suggest some people. He says, I mean, he and I both thought Sheila, for example, Sheila Hancock, would be a wonderful Meg, and came to a very quick consensus on that. Similarly, he's worked with Nick Wooderson before, to play Goldberg, and he worked with Lloyd McCann before. He worked with Lloyd Hutchison before to play McCann. Whereas with Justin Salinger, who plays Stanley, he'd never heard of him, and that I had to go and talk to him and say, I really believe he's special. I think he's a wonderful performer, and he absolutely loves him now. So he's very involved. Comes to the read through, comes to a run through, comes to first preview, and he's as everyone knows, he's been ill. He's relatively frail, but his mind is still like a laser, and he's got a terrific iron will to combat his physical weakness, which means that, and I think the work just still turns him on. I think it is the thing that he just loves it. And he's a brilliant collaborator as long as he's happy, because he knows that, as he was an actor, what actors need to feel great about themselves. He's a brilliant motivator. I have to say that he tested me in the early section, just in the first lunch, just going, what are you going to do? I just think he doesn't suffer fools. His time is precious to him now, and therefore he's not going to mince his words if he's not happy with something. But he's not a starry person. He's just an extremely sort of powerful and quite indomitable character. And I've got on with him extremely well. But of course, you know, he's a little older now, and I think, for example, about the birthday party, he's been much more open in the run up to this production, and particularly when he's seen it, about how, for example, Stanley in some way is a personal portrayal, in some oblique way, of his own young self as a conscientious objector after the war, and the sense of isolation and alienation that he felt, which is something that he would not really have wanted to talk about in the past. It's by no means saying that the play is a metaphor or an allegory for that. That's what he can't stand. But I think just to admit that there is personal meaning in it, and I think that's rather wonderful. And it's been a very emotional journey, the whole thing. And at the gala on the 50th anniversary, when he stood at the end on stage, 50 years to the day that it opened, and gave a short, very beautiful speech, it was really you felt history happening.
What was your particular interest, as it were, with the piece, do you think, if you can recall?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, because I was very clear that I didn't want to impose some very sort of an obvious directorial concept on it. I think my natural style is, I'm not a big boulevardier anyway. I hope it isn't slow. I mean, it's just I wanted it to have that sense of I suppose what I think of as where Pinter does come from, Kafka, that sense of the individual being hunted down by terrifying phantoms that might be his own creation or might not be his own creation. And I feel that Pinter does that very brilliantly, that it could be physically the state, society, conformity, whatever you want to call it. It could be the individual's invented perception of those things. Mm. And what's frightening about him, I think, is almost the sense that the punishers who come to get you might well... it's beyond the obvious thing of, oh, they're all out to get you. It's that they might... you might deserve it. You might, in some way, not only deserve it, you might even have created them. That's a kind of, I suppose, profoundly paranoid view of the world. But I think it connects to a European existential tradition of terror, which comes out of Dostoevsky and Kafka, where the heroes are complex and sometimes invite their own punishment, and does punishment come often before the crime? And this is the sort of terrifying world we're in with him. And I think when you get that right, it's sort of profoundly unnerving. We also have a Jewish connection, and there's something of the Jewish fable about that.
It's just the week, happens to be the week you've announced that you're going from here, so it's a great way, in a way, to it's a sad week as well as a happy week in some ways.
Yeah, I've had the most amazing time here, and I've still got almost another year here. I've run buildings for 7 years, and I've got a family, so I need to spend more time with them. The RSC is a wonderful opportunity, and the one thing I always said at the Lyric very clearly was that I would put my love of Shakespeare on hold, because I felt London's got quite enough Shakespeare in the Lyric that should not really be doing it. But now I am looking forward to getting back to that as well.
Fantastic. Thank you.